As I mentioned in the pastoral prayer, this is a subject that for me as pastor of a congregation, I would never choose to purposefully speak on. But I do believe this is probably the first instance, maybe the second, but this definitely more direct, where it talks about the responsibility of Christians in their giving. So today will be a message from God's Word on the giving of the saints. And giving goes a lot deeper than just writing a check or passing $5 into an offering plate. Because truly, we as believers need to have a heart of giving. And we'll try to examine ourselves today to see just exactly where we are in that regard. So if you would, open up with me to the first book of Corinthians. We are entering our final chapter as we've traversed our way through this letter. We have spent the last 6, maybe 7 messages talking about the resurrection and the importance of the resurrection to the believer. I wish I could say that we have been exhaustive in what we have said and we've covered everything in this, under the subject of the resurrection, but I think you would all admit that every time we think about it, we come up with more things that we could add. So Paul now, as he enters this, which we see as his final chapter, realizing when this letter was written, it was written as a letter. There were no chapter divisions. There were no verses. But Paul is entering the conclusion of what he wants to tell the Corinthians. Also remember that throughout this last part of this book, Paul has been answering questions. He said about those things you had written about. And this, for the subject of giving, may be also part of something that was asked about, but he also has purpose in saying it. He's trying to close things up. He's trying to finish it. And what do we normally do when we're writing letters? I mean, when it comes to the end of the letters, it's not necessarily the most important things we put last. Sometimes it's just those things that come to our mind and we try to get in there before we close out. But being this is the Word of God, everything that Paul says is important. So let's read with me verses 1 through 4 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with the letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And it is as if it is fitting for me to go also, then will go with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, that which is perfect, inspired, that which contains everything we need to know about you, everything that we need to know about living a life unto you. Father, so much truth is contained in here that while we live on this earth, we will never gain it all. I pray, Lord, that this morning you would help us to gain just a little bit, some insight on how we can be better givers to you. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. When we conclude this morning, hopefully it will be clear that each and every one of us as God's people need to have a heart of giving. That should be part of who we are. But sometimes this is brought about in a different way. Motivations for giving need to be pure. Motivations for giving need to be right. And there are many people who will give not because they need to, not because they're commanded to, but they give in order to receive the accolades that come along with it. I can remember one time, me and my mentor traveling out to New York to visit another pastor. And going over to the church building that he pastored and walking around. And on the sides of some, if not most, of the pews, scattered throughout the building at different points, were little engraved plaques of someone's name who had given, I suppose, money for the pews or money for whatever wall we were staring at. And I didn't quite know how to take that. And even today, something about that just kind of eats away. I mean, we go to different buildings, maybe a school that's being built. And there'll be a place in front of the school of bricks with people's names engraved in the bricks for their charitable contribution for that. And the persona that makes this person, even though I may never see them or know who they are, the greatness that they have in their generosity. I keep thinking of the portion of Scripture that says, "Don't let your right hand know what your left giveth." So if I don't know what I'm giving, goes to say that probably nobody else should know. But that doesn't take away from our responsibility to give. So Paul starts out, he says, concerning the collection, this again, the way he phrases this, kind of leads you to think that maybe this is in response to something that somebody had asked about in the letter that he's responding to. Remember, 1 Corinthians is a response to a letter that has been sent to him. And possibly somebody said, "Hey, Paul, you have asked us for this collection. What are the parameters to it? What do we need to know about it?" So So Paul says, concerning the collection for the saints. Sprinkled throughout the epistles, if we go back to the book of Acts, we see where Paul is organizing this collection to give to the saints in Jerusalem. Why especially the saints in Jerusalem? What was their problem? Why couldn't they take care of themselves? Well, remember the persecution of the early believers. Most importantly, where probably the majority of that persecution took place was in Israel, most specifically in Jerusalem. I mean, yes, we read about the persecution from Rome. Nero burning Christians as nightlights in his garden. Certainly there was persecution from everywhere. But I don't think it hit home as much as the persecution of the early saints in Jerusalem. For you see, the Jews in Jerusalem were persecuted. I mean, they wanted Israel to be Jewish, hence the appeal of Christ among many non-believing Jews. They followed him to see if he might be that political savior to save them from Rome. And then Rome turns on the Jews. Well, amongst these Jews were Jewish believers of Christ. Those who followed what Paul refers to as the way. Not only were they receiving persecution from Rome, but they were receiving persecution from their fellow Jews, because in the eyes of the Jews, they had turned their backs on God, when in reality, they were totally embracing the reality of who God was. These saints were the poorest of the poor in Jerusalem. So Paul wanted to take up a contribution to be able to take back to them. He says, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. Paul talked about this to many of the congregations around the known world at this time. There's references to Macedonia, here to Galatia, to the church at Corinth, to take up an offering for them, to be generous towards them. He goes into a little detail in verse 2. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save. There's a lot of stuff packed in to verse 2. Number one, on the phrase, on the first day of every week. Can somebody tell me what would be the significance of that phrase? Why would on the first day of the week be important? Church. Okay.
Sabbath.
Okay, when's the Sabbath? Saturday is the last day of the week, okay? So, and this is a proof text for why we as believers gather on Sunday. To the point that in Revelation, it is actually Sunday, the first day of the week, is called, does anybody know? The Lord's Day. Church meets on the Lord's Day. There's many different congregations around our country today and around the world that would still celebrate their time of worship on Saturday. Seventh-day Adventists, Messianic Jews, you know, a lot of different people. Paul says on the first day of the week. So, you know, when anybody ever asks you why do you guys gather on Sunday? I mean, the Ten Commandments say, keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. Well, here's one at least proof text that you can go to. What are we to do on this first day of the week? I mean, Acts tells us we gather for prayer, for God's word, the breaking of bread. Paul here says to give. Is it important for believers to gather together? Can't I worship God at home by myself? Then why do I need church? I mean, I can turn on TBN or all manners of different quote-unquote Christian television programs. There's even sound podcasts. They're biblically sound. I can listen to John MacArthur and Alistair Begg. Why do I need to come and listen to you? It's important that we gather so that we can come together and encourage one another, spur one another on in our faith. Ryan has a very unique way of teaching Sunday school. Yes or no? Mostly enjoyable. No. Sometimes a little stingy, maybe? Maybe. I mean, it's fun to be called on. Yeah. Ryan, John 3:16, what is it? Recite it. That's easy. Man, that Ryan. He's so smart. We made him, you know. He knows scripture. Oh, do. Ryan, please recite Malachi 7:20. Doesn't look quite as smart if he doesn't know it. Correct? But I can tell you one thing. Throughout Ryan's Sunday school class right now, as we're going through the basics of the Christian faith, are you learning things? Are you reinforcing things that you either already knew or thought you already knew, and kind of getting them solidified in your mind as to what they're supposed to be? Yes. Is it always fun? I mean, can, you know, especially when you give the right answer and he makes it look like you didn't, because there's more than one right answer. But it helps us. And that, again, is another purpose of gathering together. I debated whether to say this, but most of the people that it applies to aren't here. So if you're listening to this, I am not saying this about any one person. But it amazes me, and I know there's always reasons, there's always, so I don't want to seem harsh. And forgive me if I do. But why does it seem like sometimes that the Lord's Day is the only day that people get sick? I'm not talking about you, Jerry. You know, I got the same problem with people at work. Why is the only time that they're sick is when I've got them scheduled to do something? But, guy, you know, those of you who aren't here, I have access to your Facebooks, most of you. I see what you're doing all through the week. Where you're going, what you're doing, who you're seeing. We will do what is important. We will make sure we do that which is important. On the first day of every week, we are to gather today. We are to be encouraged, and I do not, and I pray this does not come across as one of those beat-up sermons. I don't want you leaving here feeling guilty today. I don't want you all going out saying, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to give 75% of what I make now because I'm just so guilty, Dan. That is not purpose. But we are to gather. And one of the reasons for, Paul says here, each of you is to put aside and save. Okay, so we are to put aside and give. Why? Why do we need to give to the church? I mean, church has enough money, doesn't it? Tom, we can sustain ourselves, can't we? Some of us think that way. But each and one of us is to set aside and save. We give to the church so the church can exist, to in turn give back to you. Sometimes monetarily, most of the time in spiritual issues of growth. I very easily could turn this into that we need to give 75% so Dan doesn't have to work anymore on the outside. Dan doesn't want that. Not right now. I know that we, as a congregation, over and above give what we can. I like one of the greatest attributes of the church I came out of that I have brought and implemented here, and it was implemented before I was here, I believe, was that me and Ryan, as pastors, know absolutely nothing of what anybody gives unless they tell us. And I believe this is how things work within the household of the one that does. And we have one family that takes care of our finances. I believe we have one person who knows the totality of what each person gives throughout the year. Now, they both may know on a given Sunday what somebody gives, but one person, I believe. Is that true? Or as a couple? Okay. The two shall become one. Okay, so they have never come up and discussed with me the giving of Landon. I have no clue whether Landon gives $0 or $1 million. I think I'd know if we got $1 million. Oh, wouldn't know who it came from, but I think I'd know. I like that. I have no partiality between anybody in this body, especially when it comes to giving. But we are to give. Is that clear from this passage? That we are to give? Well, how much? Pastor Dan, how much are we to give? Paul says, as he may prosper. So as far as dollar amounts go, IBM executive should be giving more than, or a greater portion. Let's see how. And I'll explain this a little bit more. But I mean, IBM executive should be giving more than school teacher here, who should be giving more than ice cream scooper guy here. But how much? Ice cream scooper there. So, I didn't do that purposefully, I promise. But what percentage? How much should someone give? I've been to churches before. Me and Beth, when we were down in South Carolina, we visited a church. We went on a Sunday. When Monday, Tuesday, or Thursday night visitation for the church came, we got a knock on the door. Came in and told us all the wonderful things about the church. And one of the things they wanted to know about us was how much money we made, what kind of job I had. Needless to say, we didn't go back. I mean, I hear scary things about a church in town here with how they are with their members and money. How much should we give?
I've always been taught if I give 10%, I'm good.
Somebody give me a chapter and verse in the New Testament that says Christians are to give 10%. No. Now we can go to Old Testament truth. We can see a tithe out of the Old Testament. Do you realize that the New Testament doesn't speak at all about a tithe? I mean, the Jews were at one point commanded to give upwards of 23 to 30% in their tithes. Kind of happy with your 10% now, huh? Well, you see, the church, the synagogue back then, they had multiple duties of, you know, they had to support the synagogue and those working. There was a tithe for the priests. There was a tithe for the overall governing of things, since it was a theocracy. And there was a charitable tithe that would be kind of like welfare as we know it today. So we can't just rest on 10%. One of the truths of scriptures is give as God has been good to you. For the longest time, the bulk of my life, and it still creeps in at times today, I've always given out of the excess of what I have. There's only one problem when I do that. There's very few weeks that I have excess. But I always seem to have money to drive through McDonald's. I have money to go to Starbucks, although I don't like it. So that can't be an excuse. I can tell you from 10 years ago to today, my giving has gotten more centered, I would say, more biblical. But there's never been a day that I have done without because I have given. We need to have hearts of giving. We talk about the little guy at the end of the exit ramp with the sign. How many times do we give without thinking? How many times do we think without giving? Why is it? Kentucky Fried Chicken right down the street. Why doesn't he go get a job? Am I right? Man, look at all those McDonald's bags that people just gave him. I guess he's good for the day. I don't need to do anything. So many opportunities we have that we miss. Giving to those who are in need is one of them. We as a church over the years, even in our, I hesitate to use the word poverty because I don't think we're poor. But I think we've been generous throughout the years as people have come to us. We have people within this body who are very generous and give. Not so people look at them and say, oh, look at them. Oh, how great they are, they give. I mean, if that ever becomes if you ever see that from me, I give you permission to come up and just slug me. Please. We need to have the heart of giving. It's scriptural. It's throughout the Bible. And there is nothing that says how much. My giving today compared to my giving 10 years ago, immensely different. But I still wish I gave more. Does that make sense? Well, then what are we supposed to do then? We give this to the church. I mean, is it good to give to other places? Absolutely. Do you listen to Grace to You or Truth for Life or Ligonier or Moody Radio? Is it wrong to give to them? No. But make sure your family is taken care of before you give outside. That would be my only encouragement there. Paul says, when I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. And if it is fitting for me to go also, then we'll go with them. Basically, this kind of sets up the structure within the church. Paul didn't want anything to do with money. That's why I don't want to have anything to do with money. Paul didn't say, bring me the money so I can take it. What happens there? There's needs to be accountability. I don't want to have anything to do with the money that's given. I mean, I like McDonald's. I like Kentucky Fried Chicken. And if I'm given a wad of cash to take to the bank, I hope I wouldn't want to go, there's McDonald's on the way. We get a mentality sometimes that we deserve things. Do we not? Well, I need to give to the church. But I need this 65-inch TV. I need it. I mean, my 55-inch TV just isn't big enough anymore. I need the 65-inch. I work hard. I traipse through the snow every day tired, lack of sleep, delivering mail, delivering medication, delivering propositions for how to save money. I work hard. I saved my company $750,000 this week. I deserve that new TV. I'll give next week. You know what's happened with me sometimes when I do that? If I don't give it when I have it, then when I want to give it, I don't have it to give. Let's maintain our priorities. Have hearts of giving. Paul doesn't want the responsibility of carrying it. I don't want the responsibility of care. Ryan doesn't want the responsibility of carrying it. And as much as you trust me and as much as I trust Ryan, I don't ever want to have something over me where somebody might say, Tom hands me the deposit to take to the bank. And I bring Tom the receipt. And Tom says, I thought when I counted this up it was this much. It's not the same. Maybe I was wrong. I don't want those kind of questions. I want to be trustworthy before you, knowing that you trust me, especially when I give you God's word. Luckily, that's all there is in here about giving. I'm sure at some point in time we'll get to another passage that's going to hit it again. Maybe I'll give that one to Ryan. Let's have charitable hearts. Let's have giving hearts. I mean, some of us in this room don't have two nickels to rub together. I realize that. Does that exempt you from giving? A nickel can be broken down to pennies, and a portion can be given. Look at the story that Jesus gives. The widow who goes into the temple and throws in her two pennies. And the Pharisee just basically laughing at her as he throws in his bag, which was probably just a lot of pennies, because he probably went to the First National Bank of Jerusalem and broke down his $10 into $10 worth of pennies so he could throw it into this thing and hear the clinging, clanging, 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 clang, clang as it goes down to the bottom. And this little widow gives two. Clink, clink. She gave out of what she had. I love you guys. It is my honor and privilege to stand before you every Sunday. And I will do this as long as the Lord gives me breath. Father, I thank you this morning for how you love us. I thank you, Lord, for how you have cared for this congregation. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to grow. Father, I pray that you would help us for who we have coming week in and week out to grow spiritually. For Lord, I would rather have 5 or 10 people on fire for you, learning more about you and living in a greater way for you every week, than to have this place filled to capacity with people who don't care about you. Father, help us to be a witness. Lord, we are to multiply ourselves. We are to reproduce ourselves. May we do that through the way we live and through the way we talk. Father, may we be charitable, both with one another and with those outside. May we be known as people who aren't afraid to give. And Lord, giving isn't only money. Giving is in what we do, our actions, our talents, our time. Father, may we represent you well. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's Lord's Supper time today.